Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire, and thank you once again for joining me. We usually start with that beautiful prayer, the Angel of Peace, the Angel of Portugal, who appeared to the three children at Fatima in 1916. Oh my God, I believe, I adore, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Now, of course, if you are familiar with the apparition of Our Lady of Fatima, you will know that when she appeared to the children the following year, 1917, on the 13th of July, she made many predictions, because at that stage, of course, it was World War I. And she said if people did not do as she asked and to lead better lives, that there would be another war under Pope Pius. Now, this is an extraordinary thing for her to say there would be another war. I mean, people were just in the middle of the Great War, the war to end all wars. So the thought of another war and actually naming the Pope, quite extraordinary. And then, as I said last week, she showed the children a vision of hell, and they thought that they would have fainted and died on the spot if Our Lady hadn't been standing beside her. So I think Pope Pius XII said, the greatest sin in the world today was the loss of the sense of sin. And I think that certainly, that was in 1945, and when you think that is 75 years ago, that is definitely the case today. In fact, we have a very famous bishop in the States who maintains that we have a reasonable hope that all men are saved. I don't think we do. If Our Lady can show children hell, and that apparition has been approved by the Church, and it was cemented, you might say, by the great miracle of the Son, the greatest miracle since the resurrection, and over 70,000 people actually saw it, and many of the people who had come to witness the miracle, which the children said was going to happen on a certain day of a certain month at a certain time, and they mock, basically. So they came as skeptics and they went away as believers. And even the editor of O Século, the biggest newspaper in Portugal, had come to mock, and he left as a believer, and the next day in his national newspaper he had all about the great miracle of the Son at Fatima, Portugal. So nothing is left to chance. If Our Lady says something, you can jolly well believe it. Take it to the bank. Now, in Quito, Ecuador, way back in the early 1600s, Our Lady said that in the mid-1900s, the world would be awash in impiety, impurity, and heresy. And certainly that was the beginning of the sexual revolution, and she was right on the date. Now, this is 350 years later. She also said that there would be a pope in the 1800s who would be a prisoner. He would have to flee from Rome. He would do the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, and he would do the dogma of the infallibility of the Pope. And all of these three things Pope Pius IX did do. And again, that was 250 plus years later. So Our Lady said there would be a Second World War. There was a Second World War. At Akita in Japan in 1973, Our Lady said that fire would rain down from the sky and wipe out a good part of humanity, the good and the bad. She said that there would be cardinal versus cardinal and bishop versus bishop. Now, a lady also said that at Garibandal that this is in the 60s, 65, that there would be cardinal versus cardinal, bishop versus bishop, and some of them were on the way to perdition. Now, perdition. So in the 60s, who would have thought that there would be cardinal versus cardinal, bishop versus bishop? This was at the time of the Great Vatican Council, where all the bishops from all around the world were meeting in Rome to discuss the new springtime in the church. So this was just impossible to fathom. Also, it was talked about to the children at Garibandal how many popes there would be. And Pope Benedict was asked, "Are you the last pope?" And he said, no, he wasn't the last pope, but he was the bridge between a Christianized Europe and a de-Christianized Europe. And you can certainly see that, the loss of the sense of the sacred. People have simply removed God from their lives. God has been removed from the public square, to the point that we have churches being desecrated, we have statues being pulled down, and we have churches being burnt. I mean, this is just an open attack on the church, but particularly the Catholic Church. And why do the modernists, the progressives and the liberals target the Catholic Church? Because the Catholic Church was founded by Truth himself, Jesus Christ. Truth is a person. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. So this is happening more and more around the world. And it's quite interesting when you have riots and protests and there's no social distancing and no one seems to be arrested. Well, certainly not the protesters, the rioters perhaps, but the protesters are allowed to do that. But if you try and organise a peaceful protest, that's not allowed and you are sent on your way. So more and more we have this whole anti-God, anti-life movement around the world. And this brings us to something which is going to happen tomorrow in New Zealand. We are going to have our great election, and it will be very, very interesting to see the outcome. But if you're talking about anti-God and anti-life, we certainly have many, many life issues which have come onto the table in New Zealand, which even just one generation ago you would have thought absolutely impossible. Now, earlier this year, we had the government vote through the most extreme abortion law in the world. A woman can go into an abortion centre right up to 20 weeks, and she doesn't need to have any certifying person to broker between her and the abortionist. And after that, from 20 weeks to 40 weeks, a woman only has to have one person or see one person. And if it is deemed in her mental health will suffer, that she could be granted an abortion right up to 40 weeks. Now, how on earth have we arrived at such barbarity? Not just in New Zealand, but around the world. I mean, this is just absolutely goes against what it means to be human. And they say the most dangerous place for a baby is in the womb of a teenage pregnant woman. And not just teenagers. This is legal. And, I mean, this is just impossible to think. Now, that was almost raced through very, very quickly. And I had asked to speak personally at the commission, and the euthanasia went right around the country the months, but somehow the abortion was rushed through very, very quickly. And I just, if I had had a chance to speak, I would have simply stood there and gazed from person to person on that select committee, said nothing, and then waited till they asked you, do you want to say something? And I would say, I'm just looking at you and trying to get my head around how we have come to this point in less than 20 years. This would have been absolutely unheard of 20 years ago. What has happened to the soul of humanity in this country and around the world? And I would have said to them, until you have personally been in an abortion center and watched for your own eyes what happens in a real abortion, you have no moral authority to say and to vote for abortion. You have no idea what happens. You don't see the unborn baby trying to escape the needle that is coming in towards him and to suck him out. You don't see that. Now, Abby Johnson was one of the leading lights for Planned Parenthood. But as soon as she saw on an ultrasound what actually happens, she ran screaming from her centre and straight out into the people who were praying outside. And she now is one of the greatest voices for life in the world, actually. And that's all because she actually saw what happens in an abortion. So how can our legislators pass this thing is just beyond. We are also voting on euthanasia. Now, I spoke again before the Select Committee, and I just don't think people really get it. What a few people want to end their lives and whatever, that might be a right, but it could very quickly, like overseas, become an obligation. Now, Marion Street was the person who first brought this up. She gathered 8,000 or so people and in a petition, and she wanted to get the discussion started on the way. Now, she had a mother and a sister who died of terminal illness. However, neither of them wanted euthanasia. So why would Marion Street want euthanasia? Because she herself could not bear to watch them die. Yet her own mother and her own sister did not want euthanasia. It is extraordinary that we have come to this point. So I spoke and I looked online and, you know, reading and books and all sorts of things. And one of them I said that this is an utter betrayal of our young people. We have the highest youth suicide rate in the world, and yet here we are now saying to our young people that assisted suicide, if someone else helps you do it, that's okay. Well, all around the world where euthanasia has come in, assisted suicide, the numbers of suicide has actually gone up as well. So this is a betrayal. Also overseas, I'm thinking in the Netherlands here, they send packs out to schools from 6 to 6 and with how to do this. They go to elderly people's homes and you can have euthanasia in their vans or they come to you to do it. There is also a proposal, and this is going back 3 years, and so I'm not quite sure how far along it is, but they were trying to advocate that the government gives every person on their 70th birthday a suicide pill. Now, charming. So, you know, 70 years and you've had a fair innings, and do everyone a favour and move on. Now, it's already happening in the States, where in some states where people don't have health insurance, they are being told, well, we can't pay for your care, but we will pay for you to have euthanasia. And there are many, many abuses. There's absolutely no doubt about it. Now, Malcolm Muggeridge in 1987 gave a talk called The Great Liberal Death Wish. And in it, he said that it only takes about 30 years to turn a war crime, the Holocaust, into an act of compassion. euthanasia, and he suspected that governments in the future would be backing euthanasia because they didn't want to pay for the care of the elderly. And that is so true. And that was 1987, so 2017, absolutely on the mark. And when you think that our government has already passed it, but they are waiting for the ballot of the people, it's a bit like Pontius Pilate. Well, you can do it to yourselves, and if you vote for it, well, then it will probably go through. So another life issue. Now, there, way back in 1904, I'm not quite sure what it was called, but there was a law in the States, and it said, when you make a law because of an exception, it's a bad law. And the polls are saying that it's neck and neck, or it will go through. Well, polls are wrong. They are not absolutely, you know, gospel. And we really do need to think of the vulnerable. Now, Elsa Burst, who was the woman in the Netherlands who wrote the first legislation there in 2001, it was enacted in 2002, she said in 2009, just 7 years later, we have made a mistake. We should have investigated palliative care. And so people can die with dignity. They do not have to die in huge pain. And in fact, they don't. There is pain relief for people. That is not one of the things that when people around the world said that they wanted euthanasia, it wasn't for the pain. It was mainly they didn't want to be a burden, and they didn't want that loss of dignity, and they wanted to control those things. So pain certainly was not one of the issues. And the other thing, of course, we are voting on is whether to legalise recreational cannabis. Now, you can already get medicinal cannabis, so that is not the issue. But anyone who has raised young teenagers, young adults, or has nephews and nieces can testify firsthand the harm of recreational cannabis. And this is not the same cannabis of back in the 60s. The THC in this is extremely high because the way that it is grown these days. And also the amount that they say a person can have is per day is absolutely ridiculous. So we really, really need very, very clearly before we vote yes for this. Medicinal cannabis is already here. This is about protecting our young people and protecting the future. And in fact, getting back to the communists, they said way back in the early 1900s, 1920s, that the way they were going to destroy the West was through drugs and pornography. And they certainly have done a mighty good job of it. We've just gone past 3 o'clock Divine Mercy time. So this is a very short prayer that you can say if you are needing to cry out to God and you are asking for mercy. You don't have to be a Catholic, but you can just listen along to this prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and those of the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. For the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. So just getting back to the election, certainly we are going to be held responsible for all of our decisions. And I don't want, when I hopefully stand outside the pearly gates and St. Peter asks me, you can't come in because you supported abortion. And one of the four sins crying out to heaven is murder. And I will say, but when did I support abortion? Well, you voted for a party that supports abortion, and you can't do that. And yes, we will be held accountable. That is not something that we want to be standing there and saying that I supported abortion, when clearly, as Christians, we don't. Once again, we have run out of time, so have a great weekend. It will be a very, very interesting thing to see the outcome of our elections.
Maria, grazie.